I remember definitely listening to the first one and the second one because my friends had that shit and they played that shit religiously. I listened to it. I mean, I listened to it. I liked it. I just couldn't connect to it. That's all it was. He never left me with, like, a feeling of anything. Because, like, I just felt... I don't know. I couldn't relate to it. I couldn't relate to it. I just didn't vibe with it. I mean, I heard the greatness, and I see why people like it. I see the appeal of it and everything. It's just not for me. Like a Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne is pretty good. He's all that lyrical, miracle type stuff, but it's still... It's emptiness to me. A lot of words fit in a paragraph. How many words I can fit in a sentence?
Well, basically, I started to realize that shit was too smart for niggas. Like, it's just too much to go over people's head.
I don't think that, like. I think a lot of people just can't relate to that shit. I think a lot of people do. I think it resonates with more people than it probably don't. That's clear from the fucking album sales that he's done.
As far as white rappers overall, I mean, since Eminem, I mean, I feel like he set an incredibly, impossibly high bar that nobody could really touch. So I think it's really predicated on how popular you are, how in sync you are to black culture, how relatable you are to people just want to listen to your music. Because I feel like I don't give a fuck how white you are. I feel like most black people ain't going to want to relate to you even if y'all paint y'all experiences together. So I feel like Mac Miller's the closest of painting himself to be that relatable. You know what I'm saying?
You're saying that for the next person, not Eminem, for the next person, they have to... Say what you said again.
I mean, to kind of answer what you're probably asking me, the whole idea is of what I'm pretty much trying to say is this. The next big white rapper, I feel like Eminem made a bar so high, no one, not even black, can really get on that level. We will never get another Eminem. We will never get another Lil Wayne. It's not happening. I'm just the game. People don't respect lyrics enough for me to believe that someone will warrant the dedication it takes to be that good. So I don't think we're never going to get people of that caliber. So I think everything is just going to be predicated on clout, popularity, impact, and relevance. I think it's just going to be all that, like... Do people know who you are? Do people care who you are? Do people listen to you? Are you on enough features? Your proximity, I think, for the next big white rapper, your proximity to blackness is what's going to put you in the conversation more so than your skills, more so than your music, more so than your persona. Your proximity to blackness is the one thing that's just going to put you... The next Eminem will be completely decided by their proximity to blackness, not their skill set.
Gotcha.
And because of that...
Okay, that's okay. That was my question.
Yeah, that's it.
Your proximity. And I agree with you with the examples that you gave and the sentiment that you put. Because I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly. I agree. Because Jack Harlow... But in the same realm, for them to be an Eminem... As far as, you know, that kind of greatness and that caliber, I feel like it's more than popularity. You have to have the sales and the streams that go with it, which does, you know, that is popularity. But you got to have the sales to go with it, too. I don't think that the proximity to blackness is as relevant because for a while, Post Malone was that white rapper until Jack Harlow came and... Besides White Iverson, Post Malone's tracks weren't black adjacent.
I mean, he had enough features and, you know, like doing Sunflower with Swae Lee didn't hurt. Congratulations with Quavo, you know, songs with Ty Dolla $ign. Like he, his proximity to blackness, I feel, puts him up there. But then when you like, he's a singer, but he's straight pop. He's a pop artist. He's straight crossover pop artist. So he's kind
of
like.
But he also got the luxury of being a pop artist, I mean, too.
Because he springboarded off of the back of hip hop and went straight pop. Which is, you know, people hate him for that. Like, Charlamagne can't stand Post Malone for that very reason. It's just like, bro, you springboarded off of hip-hop, got into this pop circle, and now you're drinking Bud Light, singing folk songs with guitar on stage, but every album you done put out done went platinum, and you the first rapper to have 10 diamond records. Post Malone's the first, quote-unquote, rapper to have 10 diamond records.
But, I mean, who bought them?
I mean, white people. Like mainstream America, so that's that, and that's what I mean. So to me,
and then it's like he said, then it's off the back of the black.
You may consider him, people consider him to be pop, but bro, the next big white rapper to Eminem is Post Malone.
Yeah,
it is Post Malone. Let's just be.
He fell out.
He kind of just.
Well, he's done. He's on something else. I'm not gonna say fall off.
But if Post Malone wanted
to come back and get that spot, he would be there.
It's already his. He's already done the work.
Jack Harlow, I do feel like. Is an up and coming, and I do feel like he has the popularity, the proximity, and he has the machine. Like
got the machine. That's all.
DJ Drama is the one. I'm not gonna say one because it's Lake too, but that whole what's the name of Cannon's label?
No.
But that whole thing is a machine by itself. Now. Yeah, Generation Now is a machine by itself.
Nah, Generation Now is I put it to you like this. My example before we get off of this is J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake work in tandem with each other. If it wasn't for the others, I don't think none of them would...
Symbiotic relationship.
What I mean by that is Drake got the radio hits, but people didn't want to let him be that rapper because he sung and he was light-skinned and he was making all the melodic shit, so they didn't want to recognize him as a rapper, right? Even though he's been rapping his ass off for over a decade, all right? Kendrick Lamar is really artsy. He's artistic. So artsy and smart that...
Too artistic and smart.
A lot of niggas, he go over their head and they really don't fuck with him like that.
I just watched that video you told me to watch for the first time, him and Taylor Page.
Mm-hmm.
I just that watched video, it for the first dope. Time. Last week, I was like,
bro,
damn, I be forgetting this.
Yeah, dope ass artist. And J. Cole, the machine. J. Cole's like his street relevance of him being a pure hip hop rapper.
It's so weird.
It's him always having to be mentioned with Drake elevates him to a position that he would never be kicked out of. Kendrick Lamar always being compared to J. Cole would never get him out the conversation, and Drake being Drake holds the whole thing together. So the whole point is being a part of the conversation, because honestly, if you put them all on paper, you got to pick and choose different reasons why all of them are him.
Yeah.
You're going to pick and pick. Like, this guy got radio hits. Well, this guy got the streets. Well, this guy got all the accolades and awards.
This guy got the albums.
So. Yeah, you're going to always put them all together and find different reasons, but they all together. The funny thing is, the machine couldn't get Big Sean in that conversation. The machine couldn't get Big Crit into that conversation.
Once upon a time, they were all there, bro. Currency too,
bro. They were all in
Currency's
that,
always done
like,
underground.
But he's been prolific. Like he's just a prolific, like independent guy.
Yeah,
he just never played the same game. But Big Sean and Big Crit absolutely did. And I feel like Big Sean deserves to be in that conversation, but people deny him of it. Big Crit just never got radio to pop, and just eventually just said, you know what, I'ma just
do underground.
I'ma just do shit my way. Okay, and just whatever. I'ma just focus on my fan base, and I'ma just be a dope ass artist. You know what I'm saying? Cause that shit was fucking with him. Every interview he mentioned it.
He's going to be writing the songs for Lil Murder in the new season of P Valley.
Yeah. No, because, and that's the thing. I feel like there's so much to go from there. But like I said, that's why in the conversation, the comment section, when I brought up the MGK versus Eminem thing, I was just like, by getting Eminem to respond to MGK, I'm like, of course, battle-wise, he didn't win, but Eminem wasn't supposed to respond.
I mean, he said some very foul shit. I mean, you're going to have to respond. So,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel like, you know, because Eminem always...
But boy, did he get a response.
He got a response. But then when he came back with his Rap Devil response, it was like, I actually read comments where it seemed like a chunk of the internet had really believed that, oh my God, they wanted to see the Giant lose. Yeah. They wanted MGK to be David. And Eminem was honestly Goliath. So they wanted him to get taken down. Yeah. So people entertained the conversation that they know wasn't really going to take place.
Like, this nigga does rock and roll now, bro.
He does pop, rock and roll, rock now. But you know what? Before we close this whole thing out, it's a rollout. MGK versus Jack Harlow, it's a whole rollout. This nigga just dropped the album. And
MGK dropped the album?
No.
Oh, no,
Jack Harlow just dropped the album. So... MGK just coming out of nowhere to do a freestyle diss. Oh, no, it's a rollout, bro.
Okay.
It's a rollout.
I didn't. I didn't.
Two white rappers. Think about it. This man
put. I didn't know that MGK put some shit out.
It's on Twitter. It's trending on Twitter, right? It's trending on Twitter for the past 2 days.
Oh, God, I love Twitter. How did I miss
Yes.
This?
So MGK did a freestyle. He did a live freestyle video and he dissed him in the video.
Oh, because Jack Harlow said he's the greatest white rapper?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So that's how, shout out to Rock Cobain, but that's how me and him got into it. Because I was just like, bro, this is the most hip-hop shit ever. Yeah. Somebody saying that they're the best.
And you got to prove that you better.
Somebody coming out saying, no, the fuck you ain't.
I'm the best.
But because they white, people think, oh, man, they just jacking the culture. I'm like, no, nigga, this is exactly what
maybe they'll
is.
Shoot at each other.
No, they absolutely.
That'll be real hip-hop.
They absolutely won't. But, bro, this nigga got Megan Fox.
I know, bro.
I'm like, this nigga got better shit to do than get on. Like, bro, he winning. This nigga won.
Have you seen his guitarist?
Yes. MGK won, bro. I ain't talking about the rap. I'm just saying, whatever success, yes, life, bro. Music, world, MGK won.
Megan Fox is wearing a vial of this motherfucker's blood around his neck.
Bro, this nigga won, bro. So I'm just like...
Like, fuck rap. I got Megan Fox.
MGK was signed to Bad Boy. Did he sign him? And he's not dead. That nigga a legend.
MGK is good, but greatest white rapper outside of, and you know, to bring us to a conclusion, outside of Eminem, to me personally, is definitely hands down Mac Miller. And the reason why I said Mac Miller outside of his music that I definitely related to was that he put me on a gang of artists who I heard of. But at that time, during that time period, Mac Miller was the person that introduced me to these people and solidified them. Kendrick, the internet, some people from Odd Future. I heard of Tyler, the Creator, because he ate the roach and shit like that. But a lot of them West Coast rappers, Mac Miller is the one that put me on Schoolboy Q.
I thought he was a white wig.
Doug Kennedy.
And I did not fuck with Mac Miller at all. I'm going to go and say I did not fuck with Mac. My little cousin used to play Mac Miller, and I just wasn't feeling it. But one day, I'm listening to Currency, and Mac Miller did a verse.
Yeah.
And I was like, that nigga slide. Yeah. I kept listening to the song, and I was just like, you know what I'm saying? The name of the song was Money Shot.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, shit, I need to go check this nigga out. Yeah. And I started listening to his music. Bro, like a couple months later, rest in peace, bro. He was dead. And
oh,
I was
damn,
so
that was
hurt.
At that time? Oh,
bro, I literally became a fan of this man. Within,
right before he dropped that last album?
Right before he died. Like, literally, the first album I ever listened to of his was, it wasn't Swimming. It was actually The Divine Feminine. Divine, he was still.
Oh, that's the one with Kendrick Lamar.
Like Divine Feminine. That's when he was.
Yes.
That's the one with supposedly Ariana Grande was on the cover, but they had to take her face off. Yeah. So he put the little window there or whatever. At least that's the rumor.
Yeah.
When they were dating. And,
Sexy Nasty.
But.
Have no guidelines.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Day 14.
Nah, Ty Dolla $ign did a dedication to him on NPR. And I thought it was like, you know what I'm saying? I've been waiting all night for this moment. I thought that shit was just so dope. But shout out to Mac Miller, man. Shout out to all the white rappers.
I just wrote the first 10 pages of my script, and this is a bunch of white people saying niggas all in there.
Oh, this nigga got now.
Quentin Tarantino.
Ocean Tarantino. I was about to say it. Like, oh, Ocean Tarantino. Give me a check.
Chickity chick, chick, chickity chick, chick, chick.
Okay. Yeah. We on. We're recording. I just wanted to. All right, man. So, Got that red stripe. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another adventure of the Niche Please Podcast. It's Starman, a.k.a. Yuki, a.k.a. Starman, Fox Blanc in the building.
Hey.
I'm here with one of the greatest ninjas to ever do it. Go ahead and give me your introduction, Ocean.
Gang, we in this thing. It's your boy Ocean, a.k.a. Rocket, the king of the coons.
Whoa. All right. All right, man, I'll give you some Guardians later, but it's been a pretty interesting news. We haven't parted in a minute, man, so we got a lot of reviews to get to. We're going to talk Snowfall finale.
Hey.
I think we even got we did Wu-Tang finale. We got to do Snowfall finale.
Mando.
Catch up on Dave. I'm going to try to get Macchio on for Mando, because that's his shit. I finished up Star Wars Visions Part 2. I'm going to get a review for that a little later on. But... first and foremost, before we get on to anything else, the one thing I do want to highlight and talk about that's really going on right now that I feel like is a kind of a big deal, because if you're a fan of anything, it impacts everything. And this is something that we just got to, you know, this is something that we just got to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So, all right.
AI is coming.
So here it is. All right. Entertainment industry has lost an estimated equity of $10 billion following a week of the writer strike.
That shit said one day.
One day. Well,
damn.
The WGA strike began on Tuesday, May 2nd, after the union's proposal to give entertainment writers a fair wages and decent work conditions were blatantly ignored by the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Pictures, the organization representing Hollywood's biggest studios. As a result, several companies halted the TV production of shows, many of which released of new content on different platforms in long term. Yesterday, well, this is actually on May 3rd, they managed to see the first economic result of the WGA strike when shared values of Paramount Global, Comcast, AMC Networks, among others, are in the down. However, companies such as Netflix, Disney, Warner Brothers, Discovery remain stable or managed to increase the value of their shares slightly. Okay, so Blade is being affected by it, but they say that Stranger Things is being affected, Blade is being affected, Saturday Night Live is being affected, The View is being affected,
Power
is being affected by it. Now, this whole report about Disney not being affected, I mean, Blade got froze, but I think some directors are really, you know, care about the writers that they work with so much so that they're gonna be like, no, bro, I'm gonna take one for the team. Like, you know, so when the higher up comes say, hey, man, we need that script. And he was just like, bro, Paul was writing the script. If Paul was writing the script and Paul is, bro, I'm not going to do this without Paul. And if you want me to do it without Paul, you're going to have to do it without me. And, you know, it's not that they won't, but it's just like, bro, come on. It's like you kind of got a hostage situation. Pete Davidson was out passing pizza to, like, in New York. They were outside studio, New York studios, with picket fences. He was passing out food and shit and water to people. Like, I think a lot of the actors really care about, they really care about it. I think a lot of them are watching the finals. They don't really care in the mainstream of, like, what the studios do. But I did some investigating on it. And one of the biggest reasons for this strike, it comes down to
goddamn robots.
Well, no. What it really comes down to is, you make a when you did your contract, they said that if it gets syndicated, you get a cut, right? You're going to get a check off of syndication. Netflix ain't syndication. Paramount selling it or renting it or leasing it to HBO Max ain't syndication. You know?
Yes, it is. Give them folks their money. Stop bullshit.
So because of semantics such as those, these people aren't getting paid.
That's some real bullshit.
For streaming.
That's
when
bullshit.
They move it to different networks, they were like, nah, you got paid one time. Take your $10.99, pay your taxes, and leave me the fuck alone.
Because TV is dying so much that the last saving grace of it, to kind of tie all this into it too, is that ESPN is about to launch its own direct-to-consumer type of ordeal.
Well, on the heels of Disney, think about it, bro. ESPN Plus wasn't getting it. They gave me that shit free, and I don't even see what the benefit of having it is. Nah,
it's got to be ESPN.
So no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus, like, the fuck, like,
that was just an experiment.
Yeah, ESPN Plus got to really eventually turn into,
because,
like,
ESPN Plus also did the pay per view. That's what they put their pay per view events at too.
So I don't like YouTube having NFL Sunday Ticket. To be honest with you, I really don't. My uncle, reason I say this, my uncle had, it's different, different shit happened. My uncle had Hulu Live. Yeah. And that shit kept buffering whenever we were watching local sports. So he switched to YouTube, cable, network, whatever the fuck you call it. He switched to YouTube, and YouTube just has, like, YouTube and Netflix have the best video, like system that you can watch. Like, they shit,
it's
like
a server-based
it
thing.
It never buffers. It always works. So, ever since then, everything showed clearly and flawlessly in HD, and I really appreciate it. It actually changed my whole view of, you know, YouTube and NFL Sunday Ticket. I just would like for them to drop that price, and mostly because since I had access to DirecTV, I could get NFL Sunday Ticket for free.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I ain't got no hookup no more. So now it's like,
don't Verizon offer it through their stuff?
No, they don't. But yeah, the strike is going on. And some studios may hold out, man. This is gonna get ugly because a lot of shows are getting paused. MTV, the video,
the VMAs,
they canceled.
But I thought the other part of this too was them having a disagreement about how they're gonna use AI to write scripts.
Many artists are supporting the strike, and since concerns with AI tools being abused by producers are not specific to the U.S., the whole world is watching to see what happens with the WGA strike.
Yeah, part of this strike is them also being against studios using AI and cutting them out, because AI can write a whole fucking season of something.
Yeah.
And they've already kind of experimented. I watched an episode of South Park that was written by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it you know, that's going to be interesting in itself, too. And that just doesn't extend to the writer's industry. It extends to other industries as well. So that's going to be interesting to...
I mean, because that's a hard thing to demand a studio do, is not use an AI, because I'm like, shit, that's a fucking tool. You asking me not to use a fucking tool?
Yeah, I am, because then you're not going to have writers, and then I feel like AI is a slippery slope.
Well, let's shift this whole conversation to the AI. You heard the Weeknd Drake AI song?
Absolutely.
That shit was trash, but internet thought it was fire, because y'all think any fucking thing with that them niggas' voice on it is fire.
Yeah, I've been telling y'all that. Like, and bro, then that Drake is a trash. Fucking robot anyway. I've been already trying to school y'all.
You can sell me on the argument that, you know, that one of these million-dollar rappers or entertainers been had the AI and been using the AI to come up with shit.
I am a thousand percent sure of it.
Like, I'm pretty sure 40 Ben gave Drake the AI and was like...
Because he makes the same songs every year. He just remakes them.
Oh, okay, no. All right, you've been saying that, and I get the joke, but really, like, Drake does something, then everybody else do it. Drake hop on somebody doing something, it's like literally his pulling of the trends. He don't need AI. It's just like he's the last person to really need it, because literally... Like when Kanye did Poopity Scoop. Like, Drake can Poopity Scoop, and people gonna Poopity Scoop. So, they don't really need it. The concern about the AI is, like, I heard Rihanna, they put Rihanna on all of Tim's songs, and all of them shit sounded better.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, shit, bro. Like, how do y'all get these voices to sound like this? I done heard Joe Biden, the fake Joe Biden and the fake Trump talking and Obama arguing over the comm set, playing Call of Duty. I done heard, like, the AI shit. This is why we need younger people in, like, Congress and Senate. Because younger people will understand and get the technology. Old people, I can't trust none of these old people to even figure out how to
send a change. Text message.
Bro, y'all are probably struggling to change the clock on y'all VCR. Now y'all really want me to trust you to mandate laws about artificial intelligence? Like, my nigga, you don't
even... Not even intelligent.
Like, bro, you can't even spell TikTok properly. You literally gonna spell it with a C instead of a K. Like, bro, you were so behind on technology.
You think you in first fucking place.
But yeah, and that's just all the old folks. So we fucked as far as the whole AI game, because we're never gonna catch up. It's gonna be a bunch of old people who just don't understand the nuances of how this could be beneficial and how it could be detrimental.
Just never watch any fucking movie with AI in it. Seen the examples. Every movie we have ever seen, what movie has AI ever led to the benefit of humans?
Bruh. AI is always, I mean, we need to pick
that. On that scale. I'm not talking about, we've had AI for 20, 30 years.
But that's horror fiction. Someone could write 1,000 stories about how AI just benefited mankind and we just prospered, but there's no really entertainment and no conflict. So, adding that horror element, I think people going to want to see the world burn. People are going to tell the AI to destroy humans just to see if it will try. That's what we fuck up. It's not having the AI. It's the nigga who going to get the AI and program it to do some Ultron shit just to see if it's actually going to try to pull it off. And be like, oh shit, I ain't really.
Oh, it did it.
I didn't really think it was gonna do that. I ain't really believe it was gonna go that far. That's what the issue is. It's like guns, bro. AI is just another gun. The issue ain't that gun, bro. It's the motherfucker.
That is a terrible take, because if we take the guns from people, then we won't have mass shootings. If we take the AI from people, we won't have robots trying to skull fuck us.
No. I mean, that's in extreme cases, but my whole point is both of them are here, and both of them are just as much as tools for benefit as they are for detrimental tools to fuck shit up. Like, both could be used good or bad. It's all about how you use it at that point. And not understanding it, not being responsible with it, and people who have it, who shouldn't have, you can't even determine who should and shouldn't have an AI. You know what I'm saying? The NFT shit done came and went. Now we in the AI age, and laws are not going to catch up. They still can't tell you what a fucking stream is worth. So how do you gonna tell you, like, bro? These writers got every right to be on strike, because fuck, it's like, it's just nobody cares. It's all about money, and they, soon as they can figure out how to take the shit out and it just be robots and AI, we're gonna be fucked. And I'm gonna be pointing to Andrew Yang, being like, the nigga tried to get y'all on board with taxing AIs. Andrew Yang said this shit 2020, bro, we need to come up with a way to tax robots and AI, so when people use them, we still get taxed on labor, we still pay for goods and services, because if you use a robot for something and ain't no tax coming from it like you would a person, then you ain't gonna have to pay no taxes because you ain't got no employees. So we need to go ahead and put it in the laws that if you use an AI to make money, bro, we can tax the AI, we can tax the robots. We need to just go ahead and just, matter of fact, the money that you get, everybody should get a cut. Just put it in the pot. Instead of even that shit going to government, everybody get a cut. Like, everybody get a cut. And folks are like, bro, you out your goddamn mind.
Yeah, that's why he trying to make his own third party now.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's really to shake up the system. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know. But, I mean, this AI thing is, it could be good or bad. I mean, but before we kill it, on some anime shit, there's an anime called Carol and Tuesday. And I was telling people about Carolyn Tuesday is about this very music AI thing. Carolyn Tuesday takes place in the same world as Cowboy Bebop and Space Dandy. Funny enough, because it's from the same creator of Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, and Space Dandy. Anyway, in this world, music producers have been erased. AI programmers are now the new music producers. So someone who can tell an AI, hey, I want you to play me a song in G-flat, at 140 miles, at 140 minute beats per minute, and his song gonna come out like, eh. But that person who said, "Hey, I want you to make me a sad song, but I want you to kind of mix Drake and Doja Cat, but make it really, really sad." The nigga who can get the AI to do that is the better producer than the person that actually knows music theory and shit. So now, actual writers and songwriters and producers and instrument players are kind of fizzled out. The real stars are the people who the AI write the song, produce the song, and the vocals. You just got to get on stage and put a pretty face in front of it. And it fucked the whole industry up. And the whole anime is about this girl named Carol and this girl named Tuesday. And both of them ended up going playing on the street corner, guitar and keyboard and singing. And people like being like, oh my God, I haven't heard a natural organic sound in my whole life. Like, damn, AI has really been taking over that long.
I feel like you'll get to a point where it's like that, though.
Yeah, Carolyn Tuesday just predicted the future.
Because, I mean, what's going to end up happening, I feel like, is all this stuff will just be oversaturated. We will get to a point where the labels and the AI get together and make some stuff. Like, you heard the Timbaland and Biggie?
No, what's going to happen is that the labels are going to do this if they're not already doing the same, joking Drake 40 scenario. The label is going to use the AI, make a beat, and a song with your voice on it, and they're going to tell you to go into the studio and make it, make the real thing. Yeah. They're going to use the AIs to make the demos and make the artists re-record the shit. That, bruh, it's cut and paste. The label going to be like, yeah, man, we think this is going to be a hit. The AI, we done did the work with the AI. This song would be a hit. You just got to go and re-record it.
That's how I feel like Drake makes music.
And because the label already took the steps to pre-produce it, what's going to happen is the label going to be like, yeah, you ain't going to get no publishing. You ain't going to get no writing credit. You ain't going to get none of this. We just want you to put your voice on it. We already own your image and likeness. But you're not going to get paid from this.
NIL deal. It'll just be part of your monthly stipend.
But if you sign a 360, they get a cut of your NIL deal. Because the industry... Because the industry would rather sign people who already done popped instead of finding unknown people and making them pop, because they don't know how to do that now.
You don't have to.
No, so... All right, Ocean Man, we got a... All right, so want to get controversial?
Fuck yeah.
The brat.
What did the brat do?
Is she pregnant? The brat and his wife and her wife, sperm. They got a sperm donor controversy.
Oh, they're both pregnant, ain't they? Oh, no, it's just the brat that's
pregnant.
The
brat's pregnant.
I'm saying that. Good for her.
Okay, the controversy comes when they said that out of 300 applicants, only one of them was black. And unfortunately...
Wait a minute, what?
They got 300 donor applicants, and out of 300, only one of them was black. And the person that was black was, I think he had like sickle cell.
What?
He had sickle cell, and then they seen his picture and they thought he was ugly. So they was like, we ain't gonna have no ugly kid. So they chose a white donor instead of continuing to search for a black donor. And they decided, instead of keeping that shit private and just keeping that shit to themselves, they decided to get on the internet and tell everybody, hey,
bro, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Like, man, bro, god damn, why did you,
that is something to keep to your fucking to self.
So now
that's like your boy, what's the dude Marcus Houston that's you know, fucking the 18-year-old, and he like fucking 40.
Well, she like volunteering that. They got married 3 years ago, and now he's on a press run about his wife and their relationship for whatever reason. But back to the brat.
Like, that is fucking crazy. As far as the shit with the brat, volunteering.
My whole thing is, no, I get it. They got a reality show. They got all this other shit cooking. And the whole thing is because people love a good pregnancy story. The brat came out the closet. She's widely revered. People love her. They admire her. They like their relationship, because everybody kind of figured Brat was gay the whole time. So when they kind of figure out, okay, yeah, you a stud, we've been known that shit. All right.
Wait a minute. When did she come out the closet?
With the brat?
Yeah.
Like 3-4 years ago?
Not 30 years ago?
No, the brat came out of the closet like in the past 5 years.
I thought it was well known that she was gay as fuck.
It was well assumed, but she did an official public coming out, and people were in full LGBTQ support of her for it. So,
because we all know she's been gay.
So when you see her relationship with her wife, and you see them on TV, you see them together, you see, you know, people were rooting for them having a family. So in this Dr. Umar age, where they're like, okay, these two black lesbians are having a baby, they kind of figured like that.
They should have went to Spike Lee.
They would get like, bruh, she hate me. We literally talking about that movie like a month ago. But I feel like independently they could have went that route. But they explained that it's a lot of medical shit that like this benefits them, because they get to get the full DNA medical trace of all the person's health history in that document. The donor, they get their full health history. You don't get that when you just find a random nigga in Atlanta.
Okay, but hear me out. Hear me out though.
Nick Cannon would have happily supplied the sperm for them.
But that's gross.
I'm just saying.
Gross. That is gross.
Having Nick Cannon's baby sounds
the fuck it does not.
That's gonna be an entertainment powerhouse.
So I'm assuming they went through some type of agency, and in this agency they had sperm donors, and out of those sperm donors that they had, it was 300 of them. Only one of them was black. I mean, I I can understand those numbers. Like, how many black people do you know go to sperm bank and fucking deposit nuts?
They say that the sperm clinics are mostly in white communities.
Yeah, like that's
out of the scope. But since the world paints the picture of black men having, you know, absent fatherhood at an alarming rate, since they perpetuate that whole stereotype, it makes it seem like niggas is going raw, just skeeting in bitches for no, just because. So it's just like niggas is always skeeting. It's just like, bro,
stop motioning towards your dick.
I'm just like, no, I'm just saying, if you why you looking, nigga? If you just skeeting,
you skeeting at me.
Ski. I'm just saying, at you. Pause, nigga. Chill. That's not what I was doing here, bro. Chill. You know, you got me fucked up. But my whole thing is like, this shouldn't have been our public. This shouldn't have been our public
sphere
of knowledge, bro. We shouldn't have even known. This ain't our business. But now, since it is, people want to get extra pro-black. Because folks like, you just want a light-skinned baby. You just want a mixed baby with curly hair. You just want this. And I'm just like,
you can have that from other black people. You know that, right?
And it's just like, yeah. But the whole thing is, they did it through the official channels to do it. And there were no black people in the area that they did to get a donor that was black. And to me, they want to have a baby. So it don't matter. As long as the baby happy and healthy and good, everything is good. But I think people just kind of felt like, damn, all these black men, you in Atlanta, all these black men.
You could have told them a nut in a cup and then analyze their DNA.
Like, bro, that could have been a whole reality show. You literally could have did a whole reality show.
Nut in the cup.
No, well, you literally could have, like, honestly, on some private shit, it could have been just some private shit where a
private reality show?
Well, no. Like, you get a bunch of men who would like to be donors. Tell them that you're looking for it and just...
She hate me.
And yeah, and a bunch of men would be in that situation. You sign an NDA, you do this, you blah, blah, blah. You know,
because it's not cheap. Whatever process they did, that shit damn sure ain't cheap. Whatever process they did, and then if they did inverto fertilization, that's 50 racks.
So yeah, so... What I'm saying is, this is not meant to be medically correct or politically correct. This is for entertainment purposes only. Shout out to them. More power to them. You know, love and peace.
Should have hollered Spike Lee.
Love and peace to them. I'm just really getting these jokes off. But we shouldn't have known this shit.
That's y'all fucking business,
and
bro.
Dr.
Like,
Umar is going to be on the Breakfast Club soon to rip this whole subject, because we know that's fucking happening.
That's nuts. You know, congratulations. But, man, y'all can keep... y'all don't got to tell us everything.
Yeah, we ain't got to know.
Bro, in this age of people... I feel like this oversharing age, like, we got to tell you... what's on our mind type shit. Like, you don't have to, bro. You can shut the fuck up.
In that same vein, Ebony K. Williams did an interview on the grill where she was caught saying, you know, someone...
Oh, that's the lady she was talking about, the bus
driver. Yeah, would you date a bus driver? And she was like, if he owned the bus. And it came off condescending, like, you know, and then...
That's what she wants.
And her preface is fine, but... it turned to this whole big thing because a lot of people were, you know why? People are really upset because when she did it, it reflects this. We live in a time now where average women, also Kevin Samuel shit, average women are feel as though that average men is something that they would be settling for in lieu of high value top 1% men. So in an age where, hold on, a lot of women are out here echoing sentiments that regular men are not good enough, a prominent black lawyer gets on a platform and says that, hey, you got to be an entrepreneur and own a bus company in order for me to want you as a partner. It just inflated a lot of... It inflated this whole negative sentiment that's really kind of cancerous right now, where... it's okay. And then when she doubled down on it, when she went on the Breakfast Club, she doubled down on it, brought this whole, well, the reason why mediocrity is, what she said, the proximity something to mediocrity is like, this is white supremacy. Like,
A woman dating the average,
like, black people can't be average. They got to be excellent. And, you know, you can't do nothing average. I was like, bro, everybody ain't finna own no business. Everybody finna do this. I said, no.
You just
need to encourage black familyhood, period, bro. Like, people who want to be in families need to be in families. Mm-hmm. They so happen to be black, they need to build black families, bro. Like, this whole... the way she took it, then when she got on the Breakfast Club and Envy tried... she kept moving the goalposts. Like, I'm gonna play the clip. This shit is hilarious. Give me 1 second. Patient.
So yellow.
What people were mad about. Yeah. And what, understand what people were upset about. So when you're talking about all this, this brother this, and the black man this, and the white supremacy this, and this, that, and the other, that's all to the side of how you felt about that quote-unquote average job, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, right? And one of the comments that I said, and maybe I'm not sure, right? The guy was like, he was like, you talk about all this about lifting a brother up and lifting this up and white supremacy and what you do for our people. And then the first thing the brother said was, but your fiance was white. And I'm sitting there like, how do you talk about how much you're uplifting and how much you're going for black people, but that's not necessarily what you're even looking for?
Well, first of all,
Paging Dr. Umar, damn.
Let's not skip a beat. Mm-hmm. So, I would love to know how you envy know what I'm looking for.
I don't
we never
know.
Had the conversation.
I don't
so,
know.
But
I'm,
you
asking,
just
I'm telling you what
it.
People are saying on comments without I've
right.
read, and I'm talking for them. I'm not a bus driver. I'm speaking for the average person out there because I feel for them because the bus drive. The average person or what keeps these lights on here on the Breakfast Club?
That's right.
They keep me booking
envy,
shows.
Nobody
they
is saying, okay, first of all, this is not about you
but
booking
I'm
shows.
I'm asking. I'm
this
just
is
telling
about,
you how I feel. So when you shit on the people that
no, first
ride
of all,
with me,
envy,
I ride
you're
with
dead ass wrong for framing it as me shitting on them.
You don't
first
think
of,
was shitting on them?
I know it. First of all, I know it wasn't. I think what you're saying
have
right
you
now is irresponsible. I think what you're saying
you
is irresponsible.
Feel? You
envy,
the
I think,
how people feel?
I think what you are framing right now in this moment is highly irresponsible.
How?
Because I'm going to, if you listen, I'm going to tell you. Because if you were to listen to all of the full Yana interview, the full sidebar, the full episode of Holding Court, nowhere in any of that commentary did I say a cross or negative word about the working class of Black America, of America broadly, or Black men.
Okay, I ain't finna play the whole thing, but basically just gets into the clip where she just says that she was asked, would you date a bus driver? She said, if he owned the bus. And then, you know, the response was like, yeah, I would date him. Like, is he, like, the question that should be asked is like, is he a good lover? Is he a good man? Does he got good morals? Does he got a good relationship with his family? Is he caring? Is he responsible? Like, those are questions that don't get asked about a man's character. So my issue with what she said, it inflates the sentiment that what you do matters more than who you are. What you are matters more than your character. You know, how much you make, your bank matters more than, like, your intentions and, like, I guess your long-term investment amongst people, like how people revere you. So I feel like in a time where character never gets brought up, when we talk about the value of men, her just saying you got to own the bus to be on my radar is completely her preference and her right.
On the same token, if I am a person of a certain ilk, I'm a six-figure woman. I don't want a bus driver.
Nah, you gotta be clear.
I don't give a fuck about, you know, the character and all that stuff like that. I want somebody at
equally
a certain level.
And on a certain level.
At a certain level. But all of those things that you mentioned are important. And on top of that, I didn't see the rest of that stuff that she said. I've only seen the clips. I haven't
seen the whole gamut of it. I've seen both, the whole thing. And you're absolutely right with that. My issue is, instead of her saying, look, I'm worth six, maybe even seven figures. That's none of your business, but I don't want that. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but
unless this, you know.
She never just came. She tried to flip it. She tried to spin it. She tried to make it something else. Instead of just sitting her foot down and saying, look, I'm a rich black woman worth at least $1 million in my bank account. I want a nigga with some ambition. I want a nigga that own some shit and really wants to push the envelope when it comes to being excellent. I don't want no dude who's just gonna work for somebody. I want a boss. That's all she had to come out and say. But she didn't say that. She tried to talk about
it. I feel like she said it indirectly.
I very indirectly.
But that's women.
But look, this is how I feel. I seen some of it. I ain't seen all of it. I saw the clips. And my take on that, you know, is
this is Skulls talking to everybody.
Hey, how you doing? Skulls just popped in for a little bit. So my indirect clip on this is basically a woman of that stature, all she had to do was come out and say, I want a man who already knows where he's going. I don't want to teach him. I don't want to build him up. I want him to already be going in the direction of going so we can build together. But instead, she came in with, I'm holier than thou and, you know, you're below me. Don't come talking to me unless you blow me. It kind of felt to me
as, don't come talking to me if you are below me.
It came off condescending.
It came off to me as I'm an IG model. don't DM me
if you ain't got a verified check.
And you see what I'm working with. You see what you're working with. If it don't match, don't come at me.
And my issue, you absolutely correct. And my issue with that is it's a lot of 4 and 5 figure women who are chasing 6 and 7 figure men.
That's a different topic, bro.
But
she's seen the girl. She says the dude got to have 2 iPhones to talk to her. And then he asked her, what's the capital of motherfucking Miami? Yeah. I mean, what's the capital of Florida? She said Miami.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it was.
And that's my whole point. My whole point is that it's just like, bro, like, y'all stop giving niggas like Andrew Tate ammo to say, I told you so. Stop making these niggas look smart. Stop making them niggas look like they really have men's best interest at heart when it comes to dealing with women. Because that's all y'all doing by saying, getting on TV and feeling like a woman that lives with her mom who makes 4 figures a year deserves a nigga that's making $100,000, $1 million a year because she pretty and that's it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, bro, we got to put more value into men's character. Men got to feel like their character matters, not just, you know, because your ambition is not a reflection of your character. She painted the picture as though your ambition is a reflection of your character.
Facts.
And that's my biggest issue. It's just like, bro, dope boys been on top because they got money. But if I get it out the mud and I elevate myself to the top status, bruh, if once I get that arrogant and that cocky, I don't need you. You can't tell me shit. Go fold some coals, go cook some shit, and get the fuck out my face. Like, you ain't gotta respect nobody. It doesn't... You gon' always look down on people. So I feel like if you rich, you don't have to be a good person. So I automatically assume the richer you are, the easier it is for you to not have to not be held to the standard of being a good person.
That's definitely true, but on the same token, that I feel like that's a stretch. She ain't said none of this stuff there. And then to go back to the other thing about her talking about black people and being married to or being engaged to a white person, I feel like that's almost a non sequitur because you can still...
Bud Light at the start.
Oh, so what the fuck is that? You can still like and be for the betterment of black people and still
Jordan Peele
fucking have a white wife. My wife is white. It don't mean that I don't fuck with black people, and it also doesn't give me some type of pass. Like if I get pulled over in the fucking car, you know, they don't look in the car and be like, oh, he's married to a fucking white lady, he's cool. Like I don't get any fucking perks or benefits of being married to a fucking white lady.
No, that's facts though. I completely agree with that sentiment. They just kind of like...
And DJ Envy, I swear, is goddamn Puerto Rican.
I mean, Puerto Ricans, like, bro, I mean...
This,
they black people, bro. I mean, how much you claim it?
Boat ride. It's a boat ride.
I mean, boat ride away, like...
It's crazy that I walked in on this, because I'm dealing... Like, I've actually dealt with this same level of sentiment, like, in my lifetime. Like, as a black entrepreneur trying to get it out the mud, getting everything going, building my business, building my brand, I ran across women who are more established, more stable, and more equitable as far as what they want and what they're going along with.
Mm-hmm.
And in going with that, they like, honey, holler at me when you get your shit together. When I get my shit together, I'm not going to talk to you, because then at that point, I'm going to be moving at such a steady pace that what you want to do is just spend money and go places. I'm be doing that, but also I'm be thinking about elevating myself on a stature where I don't even look at what I make. Like, my bank account just replenishes itself on its own. I'm not doing that, in essence, to fund what you want to do. Because that's what you just told me. You basically just said, hey, come back at me when your money is a little boundless and we can just go around the world and spend your money and just live...
No, bitch. Yeah,
live carefully. No. You don't want to make it with me. You're not. That means that all you want to do is take from. You want
to
become.
You want to pick up the nigga at the finish line.
Yeah. Negative.
Choose your runner at the beginning of the race. That's always been my philosophy. Like, bro, at the beginning of the, like, bro, when the Eagles played Kansas City, I chose my team way before the game came on. I didn't wait till the fourth quarter to
why
be
you
like,
gotta bring the Eagles up.
I'm just saying. Just I, you see the draft?
Why you gotta bring the Georgia Dogs up, huh?
I ain't say. Well, you mean the
Philadelphia Eagle Dogs.
Eagle Dogs.
The bird dogs.
You know what I'm saying? The bird dogs. But no, that's what I'm saying. You gotta choose your winner at the beginning before the game. You can't wait to the end of the game and then say, I knew Kansas was gonna win. Like, bitch, you should have said that before the game then. Like,
I mean, I did. I knew that's
going. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but yeah, like that's what I feel like. That's that whole thing, cause it's.
But I love Ebony K. Williams. Don't get it twisted. I'm such a fan.
I don't know who she is.
She's a lawyer. She's one of the most brilliant. Like, Amanda Seals, Angela Rye, Ebony K. Williams is like my light skinned trinity, bro. Them are like the three most brilliant women I've ever seen on the Breakfast Club. There are other brilliant women. Those are my top three just favorite women. They are smart. They're intelligent. I love the shit that they say. I like listening to women because I feel like whenever I listen to them, I learn something. And I like the fact that I listen to women, period. I learn something. But them specifically, I'm color struck, bro. I like light skinned women. Suck my dick. Love dark skinned women too. Love white women. Love Asian women. Love Spanish women. I love all women.
Let's try to clean it up now.
Gotta clean it up. But specifically, like them three, they're always on the Breakfast Club. And every time they go on the Breakfast Club, it's always a dope conversation. It's always good shit to learn. It's always good energy. And I really fuck with them specifically. I really like Ebony K. Williams. She's a lawyer.
Listen to the Breakfast Club.
She's a dope lawyer. I mean, check the Breakfast Club out. All right, man. I got some. Let's move on. More controversy since we're here. Got this video. All right.
Oh, Lord.
From the. Yeah. All right.
Single Bud Light stand here at Fenway Park in Boston.
Boston Red Sox fans avoided Bud Light at all costs.
My favorite topic.
Baseball game as the backlash to the Dylan Mulvaney advertisement continued.
In Fenway Park.
We're at the Red Sox game. That's what the Bud Light cans. Holy crap. They're in trouble.
Trans influencer Mulvaney posted herself drinking Bud Light at the start of April 2023 using the hashtag #BudLightPartner. The disastrous marketing bid has seen sales for the American flagship beer plummet 26%, despite Anheuser-Busch reporting first quarter earnings of $1.65 billion. Luis Tejada showed the effects of the boycott by many conservatives against the promotion.
That is the Bud Light. That is every single Bud Light stand.
That is unified white people right there.
Right?
They don't fuck around. When they say we don't fuck with some shit, they don't fuck with that shit.
Holy crap.
All right, so, I mean, you heard it there. Like, the whole... here's my take on the... Well, before I give you my take... Well, let me give you my take before Ocean really get us counseled. My whole take with the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney fiasco is this. Bud Light took a risk and they really wanted... They took a risk. Hold on. They took a risk to really just elevate their consumerism to a wider platform. A wider demographic. They wanted to just be open, be wide across the board. And, you know, be open to, you know, LGBTQ communities, which is, I think, is a beautiful thing. Like, don't get it twisted. I really think you want to make your money. You want everybody to buy your product. You don't want to just, you know, zero in on one specific demographic of people purchasing your product. However, when it comes to, like, Bud Light, it's just one. Bud Light, Budweiser, just one of the big staples of just American, straight, party, irresponsible, white folks fishing, just. It's so embedded in American society, it almost felt like an attack on so many people when, like, I felt like if y'all were going to give Dylan Mulvaney a sponsorship, you should have did it with the seltzer. I would have did it with the seltzer. I would have just did the seltzer shit.
Wow.
And just left the beer alone. No, I absolutely would have just led with the seltzer.
Wow.
No, you know why? Because I haven't seen any commercials for Bud Light Seltzer. They're trying to make seltzer to compete with White Claw. And everybody else. I went to Kroger recently. Kroger took down, they removed their entire seltzer, like casing, like all the refrigerators for seltzer, they took them out. And they put beer back in them because they weren't selling the fucking seltzer. Everybody started making seltzer and wine cooler shit. All that shit gone. It's just like, yo, bro, people ain't buying this seltzer right now. So maybe you need to find a demographic to buy your seltzer. But as far as demographics buying your beer, it's all college kids. It's anybody playing beer pong, anybody that going to a sports game is going to buy Bud Light. Anytime I go to a concert, it's there. So I feel by...
For $8, too.
I feel by trying to reach and please everybody, you reach too much and you done burnt your hand. So now they boycotting your shit. And now you got to figure out, like, what kind of horses and Clydesdale can you put on commercials to get
these people. We put a horse and let them ride across America.
And get these people to come back to start fucking with your product. Because you want to do this whole sponsorship in a time where you know these conservatives were going to act the fuck up. I mean, you ain't have nobody in the room to say, hey, man, I think these conservatives going to really trip and really go crazy if we really do this shit. Nah, bro, they'll be all right. And I got to respect them for saying, nah, bro, we're going to be equality. We want everybody to enjoy our beverage, which is fine. But one thing I kind of noticed in a lot of these circles, anybody can enjoy a Bud Light, but it's not considered the most eloquently sophisticated malt beverage.
Do you have your finger on the button?
You fish, you drink, you hang out at your party, everybody wants a Bud Light. I feel like trans people were going to enjoy Bud Lights regardless whether or not Dylan Mulvaney took a sip of it. I feel like you didn't need them to take a sip of it to get people who are in that demographic to want to engage and purchase this product. I feel like they were purchasing it anyway. But I feel like them purchasing in droves is not going to make up for all of these ultra right-wing conservatives who are really willing to die about this boycott.
Have your finger on.
And that's my take. I felt like Bud Light should have did the seltzer. I feel like Bud Light should have just gave Mulvaney the seltzer sponsorship instead of the Bud Light. I feel like they shot themselves in the proverbial foot.
2-3 months, they'll be back.
Yeah, these folks are not finna go start buying craft beer by the droves. It's just cost too much.
Yeah, people who buy Bud Light don't buy
craft. If you like Bud Light, you're not gonna... If you really like Bud Light, you might drink Coors and Miller, but you're gonna really prefer to keep doing Bud Light because that's your thing. But maybe you'll drink Coors and Miller. I don't know.
And they like gays, too. But here's my thing. Hope you got your finger on the button. Those chicks...
I'm gonna fucking let butt thing,
and then they stirring their shit around, foaming it up, and fucking it up for the rest of us. Secondly, after they did all of that,
time stamp.
Secondly, after they put the motherfuckers are going out there passing those dick beers out to those people and turning your kids gay. They're putting chemicals to turn the fucking frogs gay, and then you're going up there, and then after you're done with that, all those then taking their shit over to the fucking club and then charging me $9 for a fucking Miller High Life. I said, bitch, I could have went to the motherfucking store and bought me a whole goddamn six pack of Miller High Life. Fuck Anheuser-Busch and then fuck those other guys right there in their pussies.
Right.
After that, you don't have to edit the next part.
I'm gonna have to edit.
Yeah. Before
bro.
This part will be okay. After that, what I have learned is that the conservative white people in this nation are unified. They are unified like a motherfucker. Do you remember when they went after Starbucks?
No, they've done it like 10 times.
Yeah,
bro.
Hold on. That's what I'm trying to
do. Happy holidays and not Merry Christmas.
Instead of saying Merry Christmas, they do it for a time period and then they forget. Because like you said before, people have the attention of a goldfish. And they will forget it and Anheuser-Busch will be fine. But those chicks.